In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Let's do that better. Christ is risen. Okay. This is the last Sunday of Pascha. And so we might wonder about the last few Gospels that we've read over the 3 weeks past. We started out, of course, with Pascha. We followed with the Sunday of Thomas. We followed that with another resurrectional Sunday, that of the Holy Myrrh Bearers. And then the church presents to us the paralytic. And then after that, St. Photini, the Samaritan woman at the well. And then today we hear about the man who was blind from birth. Well, is there a connection in any of these? Well, I think there is. The paralytic, of course, that Sunday comes right after the resurrection and tends to demonstrate to us the need for patience, the need for waiting upon God, and the fact that sometimes the things that we suffer with are but minute in the eyes of God, because He has much greater things that are waiting for us. Last week, when we hear about St. Photini at the well, we hear of a woman who, perhaps so much like many of us, have feelings about God. We desire for something deeper, and yet we let our baser instincts lead us away from God. And so did St. Photini, who had five husbands and was living with a guy that was not her husband. Yet she went on to become a fabulous, absolutely fabulous apostle for Christ, really the equal to the apostles, who was able to preach in front of the Emperor Nero himself. And today we have a man that, unlike many of the other incidences in the gospel, they're not crying out to the Lord. The Lord notices him. He sees that there was a man that was born blind. And the disciples, obviously looking at him and knowing what the Lord had in mind, say to him, "Lord, this man has been blind from birth. Is it right that we should disturb all of this now?" And the Lord says, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And of course, he gets a big reaction from the Pharisees at the end of this gospel passage. But we have to understand that the previous gospel passage, which was in chapter 8, ends with the Lord declaring quite boldly, after the Pharisees had taunted him and said that they were children of Abraham, the Lord comes and says, "Before Abraham was, I am." Now, there are some people out in the world who believe that Jesus, of course, was a great man, but that he never equivocated himself with being God. This passage puts the lie to that, because in saying that before Abraham was, I am, he is invoking the great I am whom I am that the Lord spoke to Moses on the holy mountain when Moses asked what his name was. And so Jesus says straight out, "Yes, it is I, and I am God." And then he goes directly to this man born blind and shows to demonstrate his equivocation with God, his exactness with God, the fact that he is one with God. Because as the Lord took dust from the earth and fashioned Adam, and then later took a rib from his side and fashioned Eve and breathed his Holy Spirit into them, giving them life, so now this man, who had also been fashioned from clay, but perhaps for whatever reason, actually that the works of God may be manifest, as the Lord says, he also reaches down and takes clay and creates eyes for this man. Because as St. John Chrysostom and many of the other fathers say, this man was born without eyes. That's why they're saying, who has ever heard that a man born blind like this was ever given sight? Because a man born blind would not have a chance for sight because he had no eyes. Whereas other blind men might have their sight restored, and indeed Jesus did do that. But here it was much more powerful. He reaches down into the earth. He creates, as he did on that very early time that we read about in the book of Genesis, on the sixth day when he creates man, and he restores eyes to this man. Of course, the Pharisees, in seeing this, as usual, were upset. The fact that it was a Sabbath, it wasn't so much, "My, that's wonderful. You had no eyes and you've got your sight." It wasn't that, was it? No, it was, "Who did this?" Who gave you your sight? Who did this on the Sabbath day? And then this man who was born blind shows that he too, like the paralytic 2 weeks ago, and like Saint Fontenay, also had a sense of the divine in him in terms of wanting to be with God, wanting to know the things of God, because he gets into an argument with these Pharisees. Now, this man was just a beggar, but all those years he was sitting there blind, he must have learned something outstanding all those hours in the temple, because all of a sudden he's arguing with the Pharisees and says, look, who's ever heard a man from his birth being born blind, receiving his sight? How can this possibly be? You say that this man is a sinner, yet God doesn't listen to sinners. God listens only to those who love him. And so you say that Jesus is a sinner, but yet he restored my sight. How do you reconcile these things? And of course, the Pharisees were just irritated and irritated and irritated. In fact, they went to the man twice because they weren't getting the answers that they wanted. The parents, this man's parents, utterly caved. They were afraid of the Jews. They wouldn't stand up for anyone. They would just say, well, yes, he's our son and he was born blind, but hey, that's as far as I'm willing to go. You know, don't ask me any more about this, because they were really fearful. But the man stood up. The man was gracious to them and proclaimed the gospel of what the Lord had just done for him to them. And of course, because of this, he gets thrown out of the temple. Cast out. And the Lord heard about this and went to the man and said, do you believe in the Son of God? Who is he that I might believe in him? It is I speaking to you. And the man confesses, as did Thomas 4 weeks ago, Lord, I believe. What a wonderful thing to hear, that the power of God is so manifest among people who really weren't expecting that power to be given to them. This man was taken aback by what happened to him. He knew he had no eyes. He knew he had been sitting there his whole life begging and would probably spend the rest of his days there begging in the same manner. But yet the Lord comes and sees him and uses this as an example and testimony to all that were around him, showing that of all the people that were in the temple, he was cast out as the Lord would be cast down, but yet he deserved to be there more than the Pharisees, as the Lord, of course, was cast out in a most degrading manner. Yet of all men who have ever lived, he would rise from the dead and lead us into heaven. What an astounding thing. This is a very long passage in the gospel. And St. John, as he did with the Samaritan woman, with St. Fontenay, knew that this was something that was so important that it had to be recorded in great detail. And so he did. So he absolutely did. So let's think about this. From paralysis to not living perhaps the way that we should, to the blindness that resides in all of this. If we take all of these things together, which can seem so, well, so very difficult for us to accept in this Holy Pascha season, yet it's very important to understand what the Lord is trying to teach us, because we see all of this paralysis and bad living and blindness in the bright, radiant light of the resurrection of Christ, of which we will finally end on this Wednesday morning. So as Pascha comes to a close, let us reflect on these things. Let's think about the things that the Lord is trying to tell us in these wonderful gospel passages, that it's time now, if you haven't yet, to turn your life around, to turn towards Him, to turn towards the One who is the light of the world, because He is the only light of the world and the only light that the world will ever see, so that we in these final, final last days can exclaim with great fervor and with devotion, Christ is risen.